Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special edition of Atlanta Business Radio. This is a spotlight series, episode number 5 of Veterans Connect Radio, where we discuss veterans issues, entrepreneurship, leadership, businesses are out there supporting them, and current trends, and much, much more. I'm your host today, Ryan Redhawk McPherson, and as always, alongside me is my co-host, Brandon Skolnick. How are you, Brandon?
I'm good. How are you doing, Ryan?
Fantastic. It's Monday, and another episode of Veterans Connect Radio.
How was your weekend?
Weekend was great. You know, I went out to a Pat's Run Atlanta.
Oh, really?
Which is the 12th annual run to support the Pat Tillman Foundation, which provides scholarships to continuing education for veterans. And this was the 7th one in Atlanta out there at Johns Creek. We began at the Veterans Memorial Park and ran 4.2 miles.
Whoa.
You know why they run 4.2, right? Because he wore number 42.
Oh, yeah, okay, so, got it.
Right, and
got
he also wore number...
It's a short run.
Yeah, not too bad. But yeah, great out there. I was with Team Red, White, and Blue running with them. So lots of fun and exciting to be part of that. So look for that next year.
I will.
Some other announcements for our listeners. Right off the bat, we have now secured the domain name, veteransconnectradio.com.
All right.
So go check that out, veteransconnectradio.com. And on social media, you can connect with us on Twitter, at Vet Connect Radio. And on Facebook as well, Veterans Connect Radio. I know, Brandon, you're big in Facebook, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm a big Facebooker. right.
And, yeah, we say that in jest, of course. So so make sure you connect with us there. And without further ado, let's introduce today's in-studio guest. First, let's say hello to Tim Frierson from First Data. How are you, Tim?
Good morning.
And you are a retired Navy veteran. Is that right?
Yes, I am.
What was your job in the Navy?
I spent a lot of time as an air crewman with the Navy. We terminated AW. Made chief and did some time with the recruiting command as well.
Nice. What was your favorite duty station while in the Navy?
I can't really say my favorite. I've enjoyed 24 years of great service.
Yep.
Great opportunities. And my favorite duty station would be, would probably most likely be wherever I got to spend time with my sailors.
So. How about that? Yeah, that's a very, very good answer for sure. Because the Navy can take you far and wide around this world, and some places are not so happy to be. But I just recently visited San Diego last week myself for the first time and saw a lot of the Navy operations out there. Very impressive.
Yes. I'll be there this afternoon.
So. Okay. In San Diego?
Yes.
Wow. All right. Well, let's get you out of the studio as quick as we can so you get you on that flight there. But let's also say hello to Lynn Pagano. How are you, Lynn?
Good to be here today.
And you are with Safe America Foundation.
That's right. I'm president of Safe America, and we've got a great program to help veterans all across not only Georgia, but really across the country.
Yeah, but Safe America Foundation is a larger organization that you founded, right?
That's right.
How many years ago was that?
22 years ago.
Wow. 22 years ago, the Safe America Foundation has been helping people. But you have a particular one that we're going to segment of your operation that we're going to talk about today, Welcome Home Heroes. Tell us about that, please.
Well, one of the things we were encouraged over the last few years to take our talents and focus on how we could welcome home the veterans who've come up from service in places like Afghanistan and Iraq. And what we have really going right now here in Georgia is a great pilot program where we hold events, we do things to help bring back not only the veterans in a warm way, but their families who, for lots of reasons, may need to be embraced by the community as well. And through Welcome Home Heroes, we've done events at the Georgia Aquarium, at Delta Flight Museum, Atlantic Gladiator Hockey Game. We're looking at doing things with the Braves and the Hawks. And really what these events are meant to be is really a social opportunity to give people a good handshake or a hug and say, hey, we're proud of what you did for our country. Welcome home. And through that process, we want to make connections. A lot of veterans don't realize all the things that are out there that they can take advantage of. There's so many different nonprofits. Frankly, it's overwhelming. It's almost too much of a challenge for an average veteran to know where to turn. So we're trying to become that one focal point where they can say, hey, I need this kind of help. Can you help me? And we're finding a lot of positive reaction to this.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. There are so many people who want to help, but it seems like you're just shouting from the rooftops about where do you go and get involved. But particularly Welcome Home Heroes is a place where people can find out all those outreach programs that are available to them in one place, right?
That's it. And we're going to be holding an open house in May, around May 17th. And anyone who would like to come, it'll be a free opportunity for companies to come, for individuals, for veterans. And what we're trying to do here is, again, help people make connections and do it in a fun, friendly way. So The Welcome Home Heroes program, by the way, has a permanent location down at Atlanta Medical Center. Thanks to WellStar, we have a location in Atlanta Medical Center on the fifth floor, and that's where we're going to hold our open house.
Okay.
And it's really, really, really been great because we've had all sorts of companies. I mean, I went into Home Depot, and a Home Depot store gave us carpet for free. And then Lockheed Martin. Lockheed has given us a grant of over $10,000. And when you just look at the variety of people who say, hey, I want to help, we're putting them all together, and we're trying to give average individuals, people that have been veterans, people that are working in corporate situations, give them a chance to know if they want to make a difference, we can help them. And one of the most significant things we've been doing is helping the families of veterans. For example, over Christmas, we helped 13 women who were veterans who had no home. They were living, some of them were living in their cars. We helped them find permanent housing. So I think what's really great is we're trying to really address the issues that are most critical. And there are a lot of issues out there. And that's yes. one reason why all of us are so happy to not only be here today, but to see kind of the support that just seems to grow every time we hand out a business card. And Safe America has a lot of support. But we, anybody listening, if you haven't been a part of anything yet, we welcome you to be a part of Welcome Home Heroes.
Very well said.
Mm-hmm. Brandon? Do you say you on your site is partnered with Community Blueprint Network? And how do they fit into this puzzle?
Well, a couple of things. We try to be kind of the, I'll call it the middleman, the ombudsman, so that we can help those organizations like Goodwill, like Red Cross. A lot of those groups, you know, they're really not in the business of helping veterans full time.
Right.
And so what we're trying to do is be that central focus so that we can connect the dots and say, hey, if you need certain help, if it's housing you need, we can help you find it in this way. And there are multiple, and the problem, we're building a website, by the way, it's going to be called Vet TV. And part of the reason for that is because right now there are just too many websites. If you were to say, well, go to the VA, go to Goodwill, go to Red Cross, gosh, we can keep you up all night looking at websites.
Yes.
And that's just too much. So what we want to do is bring it all together to one location. And that's what we're doing with the Community Blueprint. What they're doing is they're using our events. For example, we have Open Our Door, so we're not competing with others. We're basically trying to be the Ed Sullivan of helping veterans. So we're saying on our stage, if you want to help veterans, we've got space for you. And that way, for example, we had this event at the Atlanta Gladiators hockey game. Well, we had tables open and Community Blueprint brought groups there. One of them was Goodwill Industries. And through our event, two people got a job.
That's fantastic.
So that's the kind of thing we want to do more of. We want to have this almost get to the point where we're doing events monthly. And again, the Georgia National Guard was the group that really sat down with us several years ago, and they said, look, we have less resources. The government, the federal government's cutting our budget. We've got to cut staff. We'd like to hand over to you, Safe America, the opportunity to do what we've been doing with government dollars. So for those out there listening, hey, we're doing a lot of good with no government money.
That's right.
And what's nice about it is we got a lot of people just to want to pick up the phone and volunteer. We had an 80-year-old woman the other day volunteer. So, and you know, you if have family members that have been in the military or others. We have one of our employees who has given a lot of his heart. Unfortunately, he lost a son to PTSD. So he knows firsthand that difficulty that could lead to suicide. So we have some special connections to help people that, you know, that may need that kind of help. We're not in the business of providing it personally, but we have the connection so we can pick up the phone and get you in front of the right people. And that's what we're doing. We're getting people in front of the right people. No cost. We provide services for free. And again, it's really great to see some of the groups that are getting on the bandwagon. We have Goodwill. I mentioned Goodwill. Churches are getting on the bandwagon, Episcopal, Catholic, Baptist. So I would say to you, again, we are trying to be the centerpiece so that if you are out there and you want to help, call us.
Yeah, and you can point that veteran in the right direction for whatever services they need. But what do you need more of for Welcome Home Heroes? Do you need more volunteers, more donations? What do you need more?
Well, yes, we need both. We need volunteers and we need donations. And we are going to be conducting a raffle. It's not going to be that expensive, but people could buy raffle tickets. People can make donations that are tax deductible. Corporations can get PR out of what we're doing and have visibility for their products and have some product placement. So there's all sorts of ways. We need volunteers to staff. We'd like to go to a 6 or 7 day a week schedule because, you know, everybody doesn't just decide to call you between 9 and 5.
That's right. Of course.
I mean, problems occur at 3 in the morning. And so one of the things we're looking at is how can we help with a hotline? I mean, the federal government's done some things. And while we've heard a lot of bad things they've done, we also know that they're doing their best now to correct the problems. But we have the federal government turning to us. So if I told you some of our best volunteers are from the VA, isn't that kind of unusual? But the point is, those people care that much that off duty, they want to help Safe America address what they can't get done during 9 to 5 business hours. So, hey, folks, you're listening.
Yep.
We need you. And right. And if you got an extra $10, I mean, it's going to be more than 10. But, you know, the point is, if everybody gave a little bit, and that's all we're looking for. We're just asking everybody, if you have family members that are veterans, if you're a veteran, come on down. We got places, room for you to help out.
Yeah, May 17th is the next event, but you have some that take place all summer long and throughout the year. Right. Just going to the website would be the best way to get connected first, learn more about Lynn and the team and the organization itself, and then find out what's the best fit for you, whether you're a veteran and you need help, you're a family member and you need help, or you're somebody who just wants to give back. All that information can be found there for sure. But why is this so important to you? You started the organization Safe America Foundation to help a wide range of people, but why is this particularly resonate with you personally?
Well, I just had too many stories that I heard about how veterans weren't getting the help they needed and then making some pretty poor choices, you know, ending their life. And I just really understand something about nonprofits, which is that, you know, you have to think outside the box. And unfortunately, too many groups that were serving veterans, you know, it's kind of like take a number and stand in line. Mm. But that just doesn't work. When you have a problem, you need help tomorrow. That program I mentioned at Christmas, we thought of that idea 2 weeks before Christmas, and we changed everything we were doing on the spot. Why? Because that was an immediate need. It wasn't something you put off for 6 months. So what I like to do is I like to handle a problem and think of some immediate way of impacting it. And I think this is one thing. I was in broadcasting when I was young and handsome like you guys.
Come on now. Wait a minute.
Well, maybe I never was handsome, but I was in broadcasting. And what I learned about broadcasting is that you can get a message out there and make a difference if you're compelling. And that's what I think we're trying to do. I mean, we've got women, children. I mean, a woman who was homeless, was living in her car, was one of our best spokespeople. I got her on Channel 2. Well, how impactful to have somebody. And so you don't just think, oh, this is just men. You know, men are under bridges, you know, in Atlanta. In fact, if you haven't seen any, go out there and look. Well, women are in cars at places like truck stops. And when I heard that there was a woman up in Acworth with 2 children under 6 sleeping in the back seat, it just broke my heart. So part of what we're trying to do, and I'm really tickled that we're making friends out of unusual connections. For example, we've got churches. That churches, some of them, you know, they all care, but they don't have necessarily ministries for veterans. So mm-hmm. what we're trying to do is link all of the Christian and Jewish and Muslim organizations and say, you got to care for veterans, we can have your help. So again, it doesn't have to be hours and hours of volunteer time. Anybody who wants to help for 2 hours, you can make a difference. So we're looking for right now 50 volunteers. We're looking for people that will help us get out there and do simple things, make a funding request for, you know, $10 or $20 or $50 tickets. I mean, donations, they do multiply over time. And we were just approved by the federal government to be one of the charities that'll be actually able to be given funds from federal employees. So we're proud of that. We're going to mobilize the community here, the federal government communities, the different networks that they have, so people get to know what we're doing. And Channel 2 has been a great partner. Cox has been great. We've got organizations from AT&T and Sprint and Walmart and Miller Beer, and I can run through a United Distributor. I mean, all these names, if that says something to you, it says, A, they care, mm-hmm. and we're building critical mass. So we're at the tipping point, and this interview may push us over.
Let's do it. Yes. All right.
So what are some of the issues that you're seeing with veterans? I mean, you're tackling homelessness, but what else is going on that's kind of...
Well, there's a variety of issues. Finding a job. We just did a briefing on Friday for 5 veterans who were in our office for 4 hours. And we gave them a great briefing. And you know what's funny is they don't even understand well, because the federal government has apologized to them for not explaining veterans benefits. Hmm. I mean, that's kind of amazing. They had to hear for maybe the umpteenth time some of the things they could get. And there's so many different regulations. So one of the things we're trying to do, and this relates to getting reimbursed, by the way, for college courses or going back and being trained for a new type job. So there's all sorts of things that we can help a veteran if they want to change their career or they don't have a career yet. And they say, hey, you know, I've been back for 6 months or a year or two, and I really just haven't figured out yet. I'm still working at McDonald's or something. Mm-hmm. We can help them match up what their goals are with education. And again, we've got great resources. The Georgia Department of Labor is one of our partners, and they'll sit down in Safe America offices. We've got others. If you've got financial problems, oh gosh, how many veterans have financial problems? It's not pretty. It is not pretty. So one of the things that comes back, if you said of all the other problems, I mean, other than a emotional PTSD, family disturbance, you know, divorce, not knowing how to parent anymore. I mean, those are all issues that we can hear, we do hear. And then there's the issue of, I don't have money. And that is really critical for so many veterans and individuals today. And nobody usually opens up with that. You know, they start off with something real modest. I mean, we had somebody call us and said, I'm looking for a job. Next thing we, you know, we peeled the onion and got to the point where they said, you know, I'm sleeping in my car. Mm. So these things are, you know,
it's all too real.
And the amazing thing, and this is why the folks, our good friends like Mark London at Georgia National Guard sat down with me a long time ago and said, the best thing you can do to help open people up is don't poke them under the arm saying, what's your problem? Let them talk to you. And that's where the social environment is so important. So when we do things like we're going to invite veterans to come with us to see maybe a tour of the new SunTrust Field. What a great place to go hang out. You have a beer. And then maybe in the process, gain enough of an affection or friendship that you say, you know, if you can help me, I got a problem. It wouldn't hurt. I could use some help. So that's the kind of approach we're taking. We're not trying to pound people over the head or find a sofa saying, lie down there. We know you got problems. I mean, that's unfortunately what a lot of times happens. And I hear veterans who often say things as they told us on Friday, said, you know what? I want to talk to a real veteran. I don't want to talk to somebody just a do-gooder. So we try to put people in front of people that have had their own experience, they had their own PTSD, or they're almost, you know, ready to take their life. So again, back to relevance here, one of the things we're focusing on is let's get the right people in front of the veteran based on their need. Yeah, and okay. And women, I'll just one last, women are ignored and overlooked so much, and yet they're some of the ones that are suffering the most. And so we're really emphasizing those women that have been in the military. And I bring this up, my wife, who is a woman, and she didn't serve, but she was a public health nurse for years. And she's been doing a great job of talking to some of the women who wouldn't open up to a man. And I can't blame them. There's nothing that, you know, you want to sit there and tell all your personal stories to a strange man. But somehow, if it's a gender connection, you know, they think they're a little more comfortable. So we're trying to, again, match up, you know, people that are either veterans to veterans or gender to gender.
And that's what similar to what we're doing here on Veterans Connect Radio. We're just trying to bring people, businesses, organizations together to learn about what resources are out there, hear it from a veteran's perspective. They've been through this and they've used these resources. So you're not just picking it willy-nilly off the internet or because somebody, you know, down at the golf course told you to. So we're talking with Lynn Pagano with Safe America Foundation, the Welcome Home Heroes program particularly.
One other idea. You guys are doing such a great job. If we can have you all as hosts and we can rebroadcast some of your programming on our Vet TV channel, kind of as another distribution channel, mm-hmm. Just know we'd love to do it.
Absolutely. We'll certainly talk about that offline as Brandon has a face for TV, so we can get him hooked up there on the camera for sure. So, all right, let's bring Tim back into the conversation here. You're with First Data, and you guys are providing services for entrepreneurs, veterans who want to chase their entrepreneurial dreams. Is that right?
Absolutely. Today, depending on where you look, there's about 2.8 million veteran entrepreneurs across America, and they vary in size from very small to medium-sized business. Many times out here on the base, we're finding out that a lot of families have online business to supplement income, mm-hmm. Down to when you've done leadership in the military and you've left, you've learned how to do one thing, you learned how to do it very well.
Yeah.
So you pull up a plan to get into business, and then you get the corporate shock when you get out there and find out that there's much more to running a business than that one good idea. So what First Data has decided to do is to come up with a program, and we're very fortunate for Frank Biggiano, our corporate CEO, who has a vision for this. And his plan was that we no longer do the feel good. We actually get involved. We take our core competency to the field, and we make it available to veteran business owners. Mm-hmm. Veteran business owners who do 8% of the national product sales right now for small business. So that's a lot of money coming through veterans, but we see veterans struggling when it comes to veteran business solutions when it gets beyond the sale. So our program is designed to capture the core attributes of military service. We want to make sure that we're hitting camaraderie, teamwork, and security. So more than just giving a military discount, we want to make sure that we're putting the right people in front of the right vets and that we're resourcing corporations for their veteran programs, such as me and Lynn will get together next week and talk about Safe America. We have other programs such as the Unity Group here in Atlanta.
We've met with them. Yeah.
Yep. Sure. I do a little bit of work with them. Yeah. Stacy and Roger.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal group. So we're very fortunate to be a resource for them as well. So what we look to do is to first camaraderie. We want to get in there with you. We don't want to come in and do a 20-minute sales pitch. We want to get in there with you. There's a business needs analysis on every business. And to really dissect what you're trying to do, but moreover, trying to dissect what your problems are, what frustrates you on a daily basis, what keeps you up at night, what is it that you do well versus what you really could try to do better or would need help doing better. And we want to come back and provide those open business solutions for you. And in the veterans program, we've been generously granted approval by our CEO to go out and make this happen, not just for the big business. Imagine you as a small business having all the resources of the big business.
That'd be outstanding, right?
Yeah, I actually looked on, I thought it was a point of sale discount, but it seems like it's a lot more than that.
It is a lot more than that. And when I talk to Better Business, we all understand these smartphones right here.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And because my wife does the shopping, I got a Samsung S6. I have no idea. Just what
right,
I got.
Of course.
So if I walked in, I put this phone on the table and I said, okay, guys, I'm giving all of us one of these. It makes phone calls and it text messages. That's what that phone actually does. That's the core competency of that phone.
Right.
But if we all took it home and decided we're going to come back tomorrow and talk about it, go play with the app market. When we come back, we're going to have four different phones because each one of us are going to tailor it to ourselves. So we start with giving you the core product. We give you the ability to take credit cards, checks, cash, because that's what you're going to need.
Mm-hmm.
But then inside our system is an app market. If you need help with employee management, download the app. If you need help with taxes, QuickBooks, download the app. If you need, and so it becomes a business solution that's tailored for your business.
It's kind of like a business coach there all through your apps. Whatever you need, it's like at your fingertips.
Absolutely. It's called relevancy. A lot of small businesses stay in the cash market or will only accept this little piece of payment space. But today, if you want to do more than just follow your older customers to the grave, you've got to become relevant to today's market. Tapping phones on your point of sale terminal, being able to grab the data from that information and say, where are my customers come from? I want to grow my business. How do I grow it? How does my business affected when it rains? And all this is given. Jump into what corporate identified 10 years ago as a primary player with reward and loyalty programs. And we provide to veterans these specific needs free.
Wow.
We say, here, we're going to give this to you, get started. So we don't want any veteran business owner sitting there going, I could grow my business if
I had this, because it is available if you just knew.
And First Aid is doing it.
Yeah. Wow. How do veterans actually find you then? Are you out there at trade shows or veteran-owned businesses? I mean, how do they know these services are available from First Aid?
Well, the easy part is we go to trade shows. And the easy part, go to look up First Aid Salutes online, and it'll come up and give you a website. All those things are great. But with veterans, let's go back to the security portion of what we're talking about. I trust people I trust.
Mm-hmm.
When I put on my battle gear, I want to trust the guy in front of me. So our biggest resource is not to go out and make a big marketing plan. Our biggest resource is to reach out to D Unity Group. Our biggest resource is to reach out to different workforce commissions and veteran commissions. Safe America will be a good resource for us. And we're going to provide this to them. We don't want to say to the veteran, this is our program. I want to give it to, let's go to SunTrust. I'm going to give it to SunTrust. Say, SunTrust, you can have it now. Talk to your people because we're going to give this to them because we want the people they trust to have ownership in this. It is not about, in any way, shape, or form, it's not about anything more than being in the trenches, to know that we're going to be there for every need, and to make sure they understand we're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. You can trust us. And that's what we do.
That's fantastic. As you mentioned, close to 3 million veteran-owned businesses in America today. And I think I saw a stat recently on $15 billion spent by the federal government to help and aid these veteran-owned businesses. Wow. So we know there's a demand out there.
Oh, yeah.
And part of what we talk about a lot is the transition. You know, right. Guys, there's get out of the Army or the Navy or what have you, and then they don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. I remember finding myself in a position, I had two choices. I can go find a job or I can start a business. Right. I started a business. 5 years later, I kind of reversed course and now I'm back working, but those were the options. But I had nowhere to turn. It was a lot of research on my own. To find out what are those best practices and how can I make myself more successful quicker, right? Sure. And it sounds like that's what you're providing those resources for those veterans, for this, particularly the entrepreneur.
Yeah, and I encourage any corporation that's out there getting into this space, one, to have a collaborative effort. Don't do it alone. We have in every state, we have groupings that come together and we work these issues together. There's very few that do dive into the veteran entrepreneur space as well as effective as First Data does, because First Data is core to the entrepreneurial space. So it's a core competency that was developed. We do the same business with every small business, medium size, and even large businesses across the nation, but we do it a little different for veterans.
Yes.
And I encourage you to look for those pieces because there are success stories around every corner. Whether it comes to veteran hire and veteran mentorship, I'm one of those success stories. I'm one of those guys that didn't know what to expect a year from retiring, and yet there was a good corporate company with a good corporate veteran mentorship program that grabbed me up, brought me in here in Atlanta, got me to going down the right path to where I'm at today, and then First Data reaching out and grabbing me up was, and I just don't want to disappoint anybody. I do have the greatest job in the world.
So, I thought I did. Hold on. Wait a minute. Just talking on the mic. So,
spend a week with me.
Yeah, I have to ask the CEO. What was his name of First Data?
Frank Biggiano.
Is he a veteran himself?
No, he comes from a service-oriented family through public service, firefighters in general. But he originated from Chase Payments, where he developed veteran programs for hiring, the 100,000 job program.
So it's kind of a personal mission he's had for a long time and wanted to bring that to the organization today. I think that's great.
I think the most impressive part of Frank Biggiano is that it's not a program developed to bring business. It is a heart program. It is something in his heart that he's willing to invest himself and his organization into diving into this.
Mm-hmm. It's a passion project for sure. Yes. What do you need more of, though? Do you need to get in front of more veterans? You need more corporations to adopt this strategy as well? How can we add to what the good work you're already doing?
Well, if you are a veteran entrepreneur and you're listening, the best thing to do is go to First Data Salutes and look it up on Google, pull it out, and go in. You can request more information, but we do have links on there to let you see exactly what it's about. Mm. For me, I work with the resource in general. I want to resource veteran partnerships, like I said, Safe America, the Veteran Business Opportunity Center. We work with those big. And so if you're looking to start a program like that, reach out to me. Mm-hmm. Let me help you. Let me develop it with you. We're working now into the state of Alabama to help them develop the same type of program. So we're here as a resource. I'm here as a resource. And through the radio station, they can get you my contact information as well. I'm open to talk to anyone.
Yeah. And you're willing to help any business, whether you're small, you know, a food truck or something, or you're, you know, starting yourself a fast growing tech company, maybe, right? Yeah.
And we started out with food trucks. So that's a great place. And, but to go beyond that, we're not only looking for veteran business owners, we're looking for service-disabled veteran business owners, women veteran business owners, and the spouses of military members. So we encompass the entire spectrum of veterans to make sure that we're open to them.
That's good. Very good. So in this next segment of the program, we'd like to talk about the military and maybe how that impacted you in your corporate career now. So for you, Tim, you know, how has that been helpful for you? You said you did 19 years, close to 20 years in the Navy?
24 years.
And that transition into corporate world, you know, wasn't necessarily an easy one. But what are some of those early challenges you experienced you can maybe share with some of our military members maybe transitioning now?
Oh, absolutely. I would tell every veteran that is getting ready to transfer, first of all, is to make sure that you know what you want to be when you grow up. That's the big thing. And the best way to do that is really write a resume and target a resume towards what you want to do. And that was the best advice that was provided to me in transition assistance program that I went through in Fort Jackson, South Carolina, was that my guy looked at my resume and said, it's way too broad. What do you want to do when you grow up? Really formulating that and getting it together. And then look for the organizations that, A, have those type positions available, and B, that they are able to mentor you into the program. I was stepped, walked into corporate America over a 6-month program, and I had very little hiccups coming across because of the compassion towards veterans of that organization. And they did a great job, and it was their income. It's the corporation down here in Atlanta, and they did a great job. And the second thing is, my entire focus on retirement changed based on a sarcastic comment made to me by a sergeant major down in Fort Benning. When he asked me what I was going to do when I left Fort Benning, and I looked at him, I said, well, I'm just going to retire. And he goes, well, what's your degree in? And I said, well, I don't have a degree. I've got 20 years service. I'll get hired. And he goes, well, what did you do in the Navy? I said, well, I chased submarines. He goes, oh, yeah. You're right. I'm sorry. Businesses are looking for sub chasers all the time. 2 days later, I found an education program designed towards veterans and was able to go after not only my associate, but my bachelor's and my master's. Oh. That's what kept me 24 years in, is to finish my educational goals, because I didn't want to get out and have to take what was available. I wanted to go after my dreams.
Write your own destiny.
Education is potential. You unlock your potential with your education. And so, find that education while you're still in. Find the corporates that the corporations that are reaching out. As Lynn mentioned earlier, there are several resources out there to help you transition out. And if you don't think you need them, talk to them, because there's things you don't think you need. Mm. And you're going to find out very quickly that they exist. But corporate America is here. It's a fun challenge. You change your battle gear. You change your uniform. But you're still in it. You're in the trenches every day, and it's a rewarding, challenging adventure. And I encourage each veteran out there to embrace it and to look forward to it.
Wow. Resume writing, Brandon.
Resume writing.
Yeah. How's your resume look?
It looks great.
Does it?
It's still like 6 pages.
Yeah. You need a broad. It's too broad.
It is too broad.
Yeah. You need to put together a what you want to be when you grow up list.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. You know, I always call the military Never Never Land. And, you know, but you say, what do you want to be when you grow up? That's something I think that every veteran needs to ask himself as they're transitioning out.
Yes.
But I'm one of those few that refuse to grow up.
Okay.
So I'm going to sit out here and I'm going to be a child until I move on to the next world.
Well, hopefully that brings you much success and happiness.
Yes,
for sure.
You know, I hope to see you there.
Yeah. Well, we'll meet you at the end of the road there. We'll see who's happier and more successful.
Exactly.
Right. But having a good resume and a good plan, right? You can't just haphazardly say, I'm going to get out, and then I'll take the best thing that comes along.
Right.
Put yourself in a room and sit down and write down, what do you want to be? And then if you find someone who's already on that career path, who transitioned 5-10 years ahead of you, go talk to them and find out what steps they took to be successful.
And backwards plan from there.
Absolutely. Exactly. You can't expect everything to just kind of work itself out. In the military, we do have a tendency to do that. You don't have to worry about the overall mission or the overall battle plan of the battalion. You know, you just worry about doing your little job.
You got your piece.
Yep, and that's it.
And you own it, yeah. And then what's interesting is the sergeant major tells you, you know, what are you going to do? And you took a second look at getting formally educated. And even if you don't go to a university and study some liberal arts, even getting a tech certificate, learning how to weld or how to work on HVACs, I mean, these are all skill sets that you're easily employed in chasing submarines. Like I said, is not something that we're looking to that the corporate world is looking to hire. But
that's amazing. You're right. That when I come in, and that's another one, learn to speak to corporate America. If I walked in and told you I chase submarines, you probably don't want me. However, when I start breaking down my tactical and strategic planning, and I start looking at preparation, organizational skills, and some of the skill sets that are involved with that, all of a sudden, I become a key leader in Barbara. Mm-hmm. And so be able to communicate your skills correctly.
Yeah. I think it's critical you touch that veteran before they get out. Mm-hmm. You know, we do go through transition assistance programs. We have classes and briefings on resume. But it's still, once you make that leap and you're done, you've got your ETS date and you're gone, staying connected is very important too, because you can find yourself being a man or a woman on an island once you've gotten out. And you're so used to being surrounded by like-minded individuals with the same kind of a path in life. And so getting connected right away is very important. Let's bring Lynn back into the conversation. Where do you see that as far as, you know, getting connected to veterans as soon as they transition out, making sure they find that next passion in life and follow that path? How important is that?
Well, I think it's critical. And I think, you know, what Tim, you were saying was so right on. What a great example Tim gave us. I think, you know, the other thing is you have to, I think, have a good network of people to open up to, you know, through this whole process. I think there's a mental challenge for everybody when they're changing career, you know, whether you're a veteran or you're in another field. And you have the emotional impact of, you know, you used to do certain things. You chased submarines, and all of a sudden now, what's going to make you feel happy in this new environment? You know, will you at first see the eventual success or the eventual satisfaction? And it doesn't always come in the first month or 6 months. So I think part of what we try to encourage people to do is to open up and to find, you know, your spouse, first of all, but beyond even your spouse, find some people that you can trust who you can say, you know, gee, I said some things. I don't know that they really liked what I had to say. Or, you know, I'm not sure I feel like I fit into this company very well. Or if it's your own business, that I'm really, you know, delivering the product the way people want it. So I think, again, there's a real need for a relational conversation that, you know, you don't just turn to yourself. And if at the end of the day, you know, things go well or poorly, that you just suck it up and, you know, go have a couple of beers. I've got a friend who, you know, suffered some setbacks. And, you know, his answer was to take two bottles of wine and consume them over a couple hours. Well, that's not making any progress. So I think the part of the challenge here again is to find some people and have them as not only mentors, you should have a mentor, but beyond a mentor, an emotional buddy mm-hmm. that you can open up to.
Yeah, I think you need to have professional mentors. I think you need to have personal ones, and certainly just connecting with those others on a friendship level kind of all helps put your life path in a direction that you can find success and happiness on, for sure. And so as a veteran gets out and starts to transition, so many things work to their disadvantage. As you said, all this information is out there, but it's so, you know, spread out. How do you find it? A good thing that veterans have to their advantage is they have friends and colleagues all over now. When you were in the Army, you met probably guys from every state in the country.
Oh, yeah.
So if you find a job or a business opportunity in one of those areas, you're probably more than likely going to land somewhere near
one of your old
colleagues. Yeah. And don't hesitate to reach out to them. Yeah. You know, I know here in Atlanta, we're spread out in lots of millions of people, but I still have several friends of mine that I served with that are here in the Atlanta area, and we get together regularly. So I think that's part important part that I just want to mention as well. So
one of the things that we're sensitive to increasingly is, again, women veterans who don't tend to have maybe as many resources as obviously out there for them. And so we're trying to find ways that are more gender oriented. You know, again, there's a lot of women. We work with a group called the National Foundation for Women Legislators and met with some of the people nationally, a lot of elected women who are out there, and understand that, you know, there are a lot of women that have had issues of sexual abuse, you know, when they're in the military, and they may not want to talk about that to a man again, which is understandable, but how and what they experienced needs to get off their chest. And so part of what we're trying to do is to find more women that we can put in front of women.
Yeah, and we featured last episode, Tanya D. Bryant. She has a company called Just Lovely Lipstick, which helps women put together a corporate kind of sense of fashion about themselves after spending many years in the same clothes that men wore all the time.
Yeah.
And and I had no idea that was such a need.
That didn't even hit. I never thought of that until she brought up, I didn't even know how to put on earrings or what.
Right.
And then you're like, wow, they, you know, spent 20 years not putting on earrings,
yeah,
not being allowed to.
Right.
So
very important that, yeah, we stay connected, not only through women and the entrepreneurs and the businesses, but just continuing that community mm-hmm. and staying connected is very important.
It is a gender neutral community.
In the Army.
You're a veteran, right? So come on in.
That's right.
That's come on,
for sure. So let's go back around the room and remind our listeners how they can get in touch with you, Tim, or First Data, and use the services that you're so willingly providing to veterans out there.
Yeah, I recommend that listeners Google First Data Salutes. Come to the site. If you're looking for a job, or if you're an entrepreneur looking for assistance and special offers for veterans, please go on there. The site will break it down by employment. And we have great HR department built in that will help you with resume writing, help you with transitioning over mm-hmm. with your language about what you do. And they do a great job, so they can help you there as well. So First Data Salutes would be a great place to go.
FirstDataSalutes.com.
Yes.
Right. And why Atlanta from you? Are you from Atlanta, or what brought you here to Atlanta?
No, Atlanta, I'm from South Carolina, but Atlanta was as close as I could get to home in my last duty station. And so, came here, fell in love with the city. How amazing is it to be able to just cross the line into the perimeter and have some of the world-class museums, zoos, and places to take your family to, and now that I have young grandchildren, I want to take them and run them around and see great things. So Atlanta is a wonderful place to be. And we're excited that we've called Atlanta home and now moving to Canton. So we're
all right. First date is moving to Canton.
No, I am.
Oh, you are. Okay. And we look forward to Atlanta being a shining star for veterans to come, for businesses to come here and set up shop and know that you will be supported through the veteran community. There's a great resource of veterans out here looking for work. And so just being an overall destination city for veterans and certainly resonate with that. What do you like to do when you're off time, when you're not scooping up the grandkids and taking them to the zoo and the movies?
I didn't know I got off.
Yeah, I guess not, right?
But I play golf a lot. So. So,
we're there. You heard it, folks. You can find Tim out on the golf course or playing with the grandkids or helping veterans get started in their entrepreneurial journey. So thank you so much for being a guest on the program today. Please come back and share some more success stories. Or if you have a veteran in mind who has benefited recently from your services, please send them our way. We'd love to feature them on the program as well.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. And Mr. Pagano, for you, for Atlanta, why Atlanta for you? Is this your home?
I grew up in this area. I grew up over in Athens, went to the University of Georgia. And
go Dogs.
That's right. All right. Still believe in them.
So, okay, good.
So this actually may be a good season coming up. So I think this is a great area. Tim made a good point about, you know, inside or outside the perimeter, it's a great place to hang out. And I think the reality for me is, you know, after spending over 30 years in this area, I really see the opportunity to do a lot of good nationally from here. You know, the great thing about that airport that Tim and I frequent is you can get back usually in a couple of hours from almost anywhere in the country. So that's one reason Safe America is nationally headquartered here. And we're delighted that we've had so many wonderful partners here we've worked with over the years, Delta and Cox and Holiday Inn and, again, Coca-Cola, the Woodruff Foundation. I mean, you think about all the wonderful people that are here. We can make a difference. We can start here, but we can go almost anywhere. So that's what we're trying to do with this veterans program, much as we've done in other things that we do to fight issues that like human trafficking, like issues of teaching kids how to drive safely, like protecting kids in schools from active shooters. I mean, we work on a variety of things that the common denominator is we want to keep people alive.
Yeah. And Atlanta is certainly proud to have you and your organization here helping so many different people, changing lives, not only of veterans, but people everywhere, and continue to help make Atlanta a destination city for veterans. You know, we're not nationally known as one, like maybe San Diego or some of these other, Norfolk, Virginia, but it soon is becoming that because of the people retiring. Georgia itself as a state is kind of a veteran-friendly state, but Atlanta, you know, is really separating themselves and continuing to because of the good work of companies like you and the organization. So,
well, just as an example, I think Tim pointed out all the great things that First Data is doing, you know, to really put significant resources in the hands of entrepreneur veterans. We're trying to do the same thing in different ways. And just to say, we're trying to bring things that a lot of people don't know are out there that are either very, very inexpensive or free and make sure they know to take advantage of them. And one thing that's a real quick aside here, but for example, this summer, we're going to be offering a discount to veterans and their families for the teenagers who need to learn how to drive. So we're proud to do that for veteran families. And again, we've got other resources we're making available. So if a veteran or his family is in need of some help, let us know. And at safeamerica.org, that's our website. Or you can call us. We're in the phone book. So Safe America Foundation's here to help.
Yeah, if teenagers are out there learning to drive, be careful, folks, because those teenagers need a little training and more guidance and definitely more patience on the road for sure. So thank you so much, Lynn, for joining us. If we can help feature you or any of those veterans or Safe America Foundation further amplify the voice, we'd be happy to do so. So please come back and be a guest. And Brandon, that's a wrap for episode 5.
Is.
What do you think?
Yes, good. Well, excellent episode once again.
Yeah.
Make sure on April 27th, which is this Wednesday, from 10 to 3 p.m., we'll be at the KSU Marietta campus for the Veterans Resource Center's barbecue.
Cool.
It says buy the globe. So apparently once you jump on campus.
Right. Just look for the globe.
Look for the globe.
And barbecue for veterans right there on campus. That's something they do regularly as well. So if you don't get this one, you'll be able to happen again soon. Absolutely. And so that's where people can find Brandon for sure.
Yep.
And you can find me this weekend out with Team River Runner, supporting kayaking and paddle sports for veterans. I'll be out there April 30th this Saturday up at Lake Lanier. It's not too late to sign up. Go to teamriverrunner.com for more information on that. And if you want to be a guest on Veterans Connect Radio or know someone who wants to be, please send us an email. at rmcpherson@businessradiox.com and send us their story. And until next time, thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X network, I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We will see you on the radio.